want to welcome you to Peace Starts at Home. This is session one, the introductory session with CNVC trainer Mickey Cashton, also the co-founder of Bay NVC.
Welcome everyone to Peace Starts at Home. I would like to hear from a few people who are open to expressing something about what led you to come and choose to join us today.
I have to admit that I have some fear about this class. I'm a caregiver for a mother with two mental disorders. She's bipolar and borderline. And I don't live with her. I live a couple of houses away. But it's a huge challenge, and I hope that I am up to learning what I'll be learning and practicing it, but I do have some fear about it.
And what's the fear?
That ultimately I will not be able to access the place of loving that is deep enough to be able to make changes.
Wow.
I'm attacked a lot and blamed and shamed a lot. And I work a lot with bringing love back, always bringing love back, but often I don't feel that I'm up to the task.
I am so grateful to you for a couple of reasons. One is just your willingness to share with such complete openness about something that is so tender. When somebody does that at the beginning of a group's time together, I have seen that support the whole group in having more intimacy and authenticity. So I'm grateful for that. And the second thing I'm grateful for is what I see as the depth of your self-inquiry, that you're really wanting to take responsibility, make things work despite the difficulties that you encounter. Am I picking that up accurately?
Yes, I feel seen. Thank you.
And so I want to say that this is one of the commitments that I bring to my relationships. And when I say it, often people get kind of like shocked and startled. And I will still say it. This is not something that I say that people should do. It's something that I try to do. I'm not even saying that I'm successful. And that is to take 100% responsibility for the relationship. And that's what I'm hearing you wanting to do. That means knowing that if I want to create change in the relationship, I'm the one to do it. That doesn't mean just attending to the needs of the other person. It means taking responsibility for making it work for both of us. So thank you for bringing that into our midst. And who else? Is there anyone else who is open to sharing what brought you to this class and what you're hoping to get from it?
What brings me to the class is that I too want to start taking more responsibility for my life and for my relationship, my relationship with my husband. I have unfortunately blamed him a lot. And as I study more NVC, I begin to see that this is a pattern that has brought us a lot of pain. And I just feel that I need to change, and I begin to see my own mental processes with regards to how I perceive things that he does. There are some things about each of us that is very different, that certain things that are very lacking in me are not in him and vice versa. And therefore, there are times in which we fall into a place where he doesn't understand where I'm coming from or I him. Mm-hmm. And they're very, very painful places because we don't feel seen or heard. We don't feel like we matter because it's like he doesn't understand. And I have kind of fallen into the pain of it rather than into taking responsibility and saying, what can I do here? Mm-hmm. NVC is helping me to clarify those mm-hmm. feelings and thoughts, you know. And so I'm here because I really would like more peace in my home.
Thank you. I wanted to say two things. One is that blame and anger give us an illusion of power. illusion that we are trying to make something be different, because if only the other person changed whatever it is that we are angry about or blaming them for, then everything would be fine. And instead, what ends up happening when we blame is that we give away our own power to create things that will work for us. So I'm appreciating that you already have this insight and hoping that what we do here can support you in moving in that direction. And the second thing that I want to say is it's about my style of teaching is very interactive. So much of what I have to say will come about through my interacting with people and not through my saying it in ABCD form. So what is happening now to me is already part of the class. It's not like we are waiting for something to finish before we start. I hope this is helping clarify for some people. And then who else?
Also, Chuck and I recognize much of that in my own relationship with my partner. So when I experience the way he expresses himself as blame and criticism and negativity and reproaches, I feel a lot of pain and hurt. And the tendency, one is to just be super angry and flash back. The other one is to disconnect. And I'm practicing mindfulness. That's helpful, but I really long to be more compassionate with him and also with myself.
Mm-hmm.
To re-embrace the pain I feel when he acts that way. The other thing that I long for is my two sisters are now non-talking. We will endure one another in the same room, but we won't seek out each other's company, and it's always stressful. I would love to be able to support a reconciliation between my two sisters.
Mm-hmm. So I'm hearing one part of it is just wanting to cultivate compassion for yourself and your partner, and the other is you want to be a resource in your family.
Yeah.
Got it. Thank you. And one more person.
I work in development, specifically on peace building and conflict resolution. It came to me that actually there was a disconnect between the work I was trying to do, in a sense, my paid work, and who I am in the world, in my immediate relationship, in that some of the ways I communicate sometimes are quite violent. What I realized is actually my life is my career. If I want to help to bring peace in the world, then I have to start at home. I'm hoping to build the skills to radiate love and peace everywhere I am.
Thank you. Thank you, everyone. I feel quite enriched by hearing this diversity of interests and longings and heartfelt sentiments. So there is one more person that would like to speak.
Both myself and my husband are on this call. We're doing this together. We've been seeking to find something that we both can work towards at mending some of the issues that are arising in our 12-year marriage. We have four boys. Child rearing is quite challenging right now for us. So really, I think why I am here is I'm trying to find a way to use my communication to talk about how we're feeling and relate to my husband, because right now I don't think that we're relating to one another, and it's causing deep wounds, and we're questioning our relationship at this particular time. And I want to work hard at finding a way to explore deeper the things that we need to look at and probably try to express in a way that I can be seen and heard, and vice versa for him.
Thank you. I am, very amazed by the quality of trust that appears to be on this virtual space. And your husband, you have the mic.
Yes, I would like to say that I see a pattern within myself around this time of the year, meaning the holidays, and everything is heightened. It's particularly so for me. And I noticed that having four children, I realize as I get older, it has less to do with the children, my inability to communicate in the way that best suits the needs of everyone in my household. And retracting from communicating because things aren't going well is not a means of keeping any kind of peace. I'm familiar with NVC only because I've taken classes for fathers, and I'm here today hoping to exercise more of what you have to offer and just having more of an awareness of my impact outside of myself.
Yeah.
And being able to be compassionate to those around me in a way that suits everyone's needs, including my own. So that's all I want to say.
Thank you. It's a very difficult and very efficient method of growth to learn the effect that our actions have on other people. It's difficult because it requires a great deal of inner courage and capacity to take it in without blaming ourselves. If we are able to do that, we grow and learn very fast. I applaud you for the willingness to put yourself on the line in this way. Thank you. Thank you, everyone who spoke. And I think I want to now speak a little bit about what I see us doing today in this class. I am focusing today on four key practices that help create the possibility of dialogue, of a way of living that is really attentive to both people's needs in a relationship. And the very fundamental one, almost the core of everything, is to recover from millennia of habit of thinking in either or terms. And the way that either or plays out in relationships is that our needs get polarized. I can hold my needs, but not yours. Or I can hold your needs and not mine. There's something about the capacity to truly hold together both parties' needs that is particularly transformative in a relationship, because as soon as it gets polarized, then to some extent we are already in some kind of a war zone. It may not be, you know, with guns at the heart level, we're already in a war zone, because if it's you or me, but not both of us, then I'm going to have to fight with you to get my needs met, or I'm going to have to give up on my needs for you to get your needs met, and then I feel resentful, and all of these patterns that we're very familiar with. So what I would like to do is I would like to engage with a few people who have any comments or questions about this, and then put you in a small group to explore how this plays out in your life, and then engage further and move to the next topic. Okay. Anybody has any questions or comments or reflections on this pattern of polarizing between my needs and your needs instead of being with both? Well, in that case, I would like to break into groups, and then I'll tell you what I would like you to do in a small group. First of all, I had asked you in the prep materials to pick a particular relationship to work with for this session. So pick one person and look at how this either or thing happens in your relationship. So I'm going to repeat the instructions essentially either or is a way of separating from the other person. So it can take the form of assuming that they are wrong and you're right about something, or that you're wrong and they are right. Or what I said earlier, that you can only see a way to meet your needs or to make things work for you, or only a way to meet their needs or make things work for them, and you don't see, you can't imagine how to make things work for both of you. That's the kind of situation that I want you to pick up. And then what I would like you to do is to bring to the surface the stories and interpretations that lead you to this either-or thinking, and then shift from there to a place of connecting with your own needs, really opening your heart to yourself, and then open your heart fully to the other person's needs. It's more of a kind of like an internal piece of stretching your heart. And in your group, I would like you to help each other connect with the needs, find what they are, help each other kind of like go back and forth, holding your own needs, the other person's needs, the other person's needs, your own needs, and see if you can shift into a place of feeling what it's like to hold both of them. That's what I'd like you to do with each other's support. I'd like to see if anyone has questions about what I'm asking you to do. Any further guidance or clarity that you want about what to do in the small group?
Yes, just clarity about, are we picking just one issue and then working as a group on that one, or are all three of us going to have a chance?
I would suggest that you do one at a time and get through as many as you do. In
okay.
general, I prioritize completion over inclusivity in these kinds of activities, because getting to the fullness of the experience benefits everyone in the group. And if everyone does a little bit but doesn't get through, then ultimately there's less benefit in my experience. Does that work for you?
Absolutely. I appreciate the clarity.
Thank you. Okay. I would like us to take 12 minutes for this exploration, because it's kind of like the foundation. It's the deepest move that we make that allows dialogue and connection to break down, is this polarizing either-or thinking. And I want to see if we can begin to transcend it in our small group. And I want to say, for example, blame is an example of already that comes after polarizing. In order to blame someone, you have to see them as separate and to some degree an adversary in terms of your capacity to meet your needs. Okay, so let's do 12 minutes. Welcome back. And I would like to hear from some people what emerged in your group so we can discuss it a little bit and then proceed to address three other core practices that I want to focus on today. So I'd like to hear some comments from the small group and see how much deeper we can get with it.
It was amazing. I was right where you said before about it was either my needs or my friend's needs who moved into my house. And the people in my group had an amazing amount of empathy and compassion, and took me from my head. At least I was able to get first close to my heart. And then at the end, when they were asking me, can I feel her needs or can I reach out? Do I know what her needs are? I was really able to make a shift from separation to inclusion. They were leading me the whole time. It was really wonderful.
Hmm. Thank you. So what helped was support in the form of empathy and encouragement, both.
Yes. If you have empathy, you don't have judgment, right? Yeah, and someone, I don't know how she picked up on it, but she, with my need, she said, it sounds like you need autonomy. And I know that's like my biggest need, but I didn't even see that as being my need. So when she said that, it was, well, of course that's why I'm overreacting when someone's encroaching, or I perceive someone's encroaching on my autonomy. So that was huge. It was very perceptive.
Great. I want to say something about autonomy that is kind of provocative, which is, it's not possible for anyone to take it away from you or threaten it or anything like that. It's all about us giving somebody else the power to do it. We always have the full choice. What I think is a distinction that we sometimes don't have full awareness of is the difference between my autonomy and my having trust that my autonomy is respected. Does that distinction make sense to you?
No.
It doesn't make sense to you?
That I trust my autonomy is being respected.
In other words, even if my autonomy is not being respected, I can still exercise my autonomy.
Okay.
And inside, we have such a fierce protectiveness around our autonomy that we confuse the two. As soon as we have any sense that somebody's not respecting it, we lose sight of our freedom. Wondering if that in any place rings true in you.
Yes, it does.
And so there's something about recognizing that I have the autonomy no matter what, that can be helpful in terms of transforming difficult moments in relationships. I'll leave you to ponder that unless you want to say something more about it.
No, that's good. Thank you, Mickey.
Thank you for sharing about this. Anybody else, anything else that came in your group or a question that you'd like to bring to the larger group?
I found it very challenged to understand what the connecting with the needs, just naming them. I wonder if you can expand a little bit about it.
Absolutely. Thank you. I'm happy to do it, kind of like guide people in the moment right now, everyone together in doing this. So think of a need that you have, maybe a need that came up in the situation that you explored, and just take a moment to name it. And now see if you can, kind of like, it's almost like marveling at the amazing thing that it is to have that need. I'm a human being who has that need, and open your heart to that experience of having that need. You want to say what the need is that you were working with?
Respect.
So it's kind of like, okay, so you know you have a need for respect. The question is, can you really focus your attention on really how important it is to you to have respect? Really feel how meaningful that is for you when you get the respect, and how challenging it is for you when you don't. Just see the depth of that in you. Are you able to do that?
Yes.
That's what I'm talking about. Something changes when we move it from a cognitive thing that is like a checklist item. Okay, I know it's respect. Next, to really engaging with it emotionally. You felt that difference, yes?
Yeah.
Is this all, or is there more you want to say?
That was it, yes. Thank you.
Thank you. I'm glad you brought it up, because I think it might have given some other people the opportunity to go more deeply into it too. Anything else before moving to the next bit? Yes. Okay, and one more person.
When we did this exercise, I understood you to say, to try to connect our own needs, to find out what they are, and then to open our hearts to the needs of the other, and then to go back and forth with these needs. One of the things that the person, 2 persons ago who spoke, she mentioned that she received empathy first, mm-hmm. and then she was able to find the need mm-hmm. for the other.
Mm-hmm.
That was something that at least I wasn't doing in our group. I was just too focused on trying to find out what the need of the other person was, since the person who was speaking was pretty clear about her own need and what needs of hers were not being met.
What I was saying is that I wanted the rest of the people in the group to help in whatever way you knew. Since some people have empathy skills and some people don't, it will vary from group to group. Mm-hmm. However, what is absolutely important is to shift our focus from thinking about the need as not being met to thinking about the need and connecting with the need as just a need, regardless of whether or not it's met. Just that piece of human life energy that lives in us in the form of that need. It makes a huge difference if we shift, because for as long as we are thinking about my need is not met, we are still in an interpretation of what is going on. When I think about and connect with I have a need, it brings me back into myself much more fully. So let's try to do this together for a moment. I am inviting everybody to pick a need of yours. And again, it might be a need that you worked with in the breakout, and it might not. Just pick a need. And then inside yourself, say to yourself silently, my need for whatever it is that you picked is not met. And watch how that feels. Let's say the need that you picked is autonomy. So you say, my need for autonomy is not met. And watch how you feel. Then say to yourself inside, I have a need for autonomy. And watch how you feel. And see if there is a difference. Go back and forth between these two silently, just for a few seconds. And see if you feel the difference, because in my experience and that of many people, focusing on I have a need brings us closer to ourselves and to that inner grounding. So I'll be quiet for a few seconds to let you all practice this. All right. I am curious if you felt a difference.
I do feel a difference. When I say my need for consideration or caring or whatever is not being met, versus I have a need for consideration and caring, in the second, it's like, it's more cognitive. I mean, it's like I'm more, the first one, I get more emotionally bound to it.
Mm-hmm.
I feel needy about it. I feel like something is missing in me, whereas the second one is just the recognition. You know, it's like,
yes.
Oh. Yeah, I have this need, but there is a certain spaciousness there, whereas in the other one, in the previous one, needy is the word that comes to mind, you know, like something is missing.
Yeah, I talk about the shift from need as lack to need as life.
Yes, good. That describes it, yeah. One is lack and the other one is life, yes. Thank you.
Curious to hear from anyone else who may have felt this shift.
Yes, very interesting for me to go from that fight in between the my need for X not being met, and I felt like it was all in my head, opposed to my need is this, or I have this need, which was completely away from my head. And I felt my challenge earlier prior way to look at it became more of a, this is what I've chosen to do, and it's a celebration in my heart, is what I felt, as opposed to my head. And that was so usual and a wonderful thing.
I'm thrilled to hear this. Thank you. So the next piece that I want to talk about is how to take this insight that we are not separate and see two specific blocks that we have to being in that place of being able to hold the needs together and see what we can do together. So one of the places where that shows up is the place of attachment to outcome and where we make demands and how we can move more into a dialogic place by letting go of outcome, letting go of the attachment, and shifting into a place of having a request rather than a demand. What helps us do this is the key distinction that for me holds the biggest power within NVC is the difference between strategy and need. I understand that there are some people here who are new to NVC, so I want to take a moment to reflect on this, which is that we just took a moment to, you know, as many of you as managed to do this, to really open our heart to a need of ours. And if you can go back to that need, you can probably get a sense that there are many ways that need could be fulfilled, not just one. And that is a key shift that when we are able to make it, helps us have more possibility to stay in dialogue. It's like, I want to be with my needs, but the specific strategy that I have for how to meet my need may not necessarily be the only one and may not work for the other person. So if I'm able to make that separation, I can be in dialogue more fully. That's the one end of it. So then the other end of it is what we do when somebody else expresses something like they express a request or a demand or a major distress, and how easy it is for so many of us to basically give up on our needs and just agree with somebody else's intensity or demand or try to manage it or say, yes, 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 I'll do what you want or all of these things, and how we can move from that pull to a place of being just in presence with the other person's experience through getting grounded in our knowledge that our own needs matter, that at least somewhere in life we know that somebody cares about us getting our needs to be considered and included. And just be with the other person in their needs instead of rushing to meet them. So as you see, from both ends, we come to a place of holding the needs with care, whether our own or the other person's, without trying to immediately fix the situation by either having a demand or succumbing to somebody else's demand or perceived demand. That increases the space for dialogue. Okay, so I want to now give you instructions. What I would like you to do in your group is pick a situation in which you do one or the other, and you probably know yourself to know all of us do both of them at one point or another in life, making demands and needing to work to shift into an energy of request, or kind of like giving into a perceived demand of another instead of being an empathic presence with them. We all do both of them at different points. You probably know yourself to know which is the bigger obstacle for you. What are you more likely to do? And I invite you to focus on that and pick a situation, and again, with the help of your group, if you're working on the shifting from demand to request, just look at what is the specific strategy that you really want from the person that you're in relationship with, and what is the underlying need? Why is this strategy so important to you? And see if you can release some of the intensity and if you can reach all the way to having it be a request rather than a demand. That's one possible thing that you might do in a group. Or if you are one of those people who rush to take care of somebody else's pain or discomfort or say yes, yes, yes to a demand or appease people or try to please them, then see if you can think of a situation in which somebody else asks you for something or expresses distress or is agitated or intense, and if you can, instead of just doing what you think they want, just find a place of presence, of holding the other person's needs with care. That's the practice, and you help each other do this. Okay. Talk to you again in a bit. Welcome back. I once again would like to hear from a few people what emerged for you in your group, what you learned or reflected or what opened up for you or what insight you had or questions, just to hear from a few people so we can kind of like deepen our collective sense of what we're holding.
I feel frustrated because, like, I really wanted to follow the directions more specifically. And instead, in both sessions, we sort of focused on empathizing with the person or self-empathy or focused on a particular need. But I was really wanting to hear more of the specific instructions being played out. Did you mean in the last breakout that we should actually, like, name the specific conflict that leads us to either or both?
I was hoping you would focus on a specific situation.
Yeah, me too. And that didn't really happen. And I just want to say I feel a little frustrated.
So my question to you is, what kept you from asking people?
By the time we got so far into it, I felt like it was too late to go. We didn't have enough time to really go back and like start from the beginning or something. Or it wasn't my place to interrupt when people were feeling good about what was going on. And
what you are telling me is an example of the very thing that I'm talking about. You see that?
I have to think about it.
You separated yourself. What do you mean it wasn't my place when others are feeling good? So their needs are more important than yours in that moment.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
But you weren't feeling good.
It's true.
If you weren't feeling good, then I would want you to find a way to honor that this is working for them at the same time as speaking about it not working for you and seeing if you can together find something that will work for them and for you.
Mm-hmm.
This is exactly the practice.
Mm-hmm.
Got it?
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. I love the, you know, immediate real life examples. Anybody else? Anything else that came in your group?
I'm left with a question or maybe a dilemma. The situation I brought up was one where I carried in me a demand of the other person that almost felt like a self-protective kind of thing where I just wanted to get away. And I still can't imagine how, if I could have made it into a request. And the question, maybe I'll just go into it a little bit. I had been having some conflict with this person several times. It was actually just yesterday. It was the end of the day, the end of the night, and I was noticing how late it was and how many things I still wanted to do that I hadn't done, that I really felt some pressure about. And I happened to be in the same room with this person, and she started talking to me about some of these same things again that we were talking about before. And I didn't want to give into. I had a demand. I was holding a demand that this is enough. I don't want to talk anymore. I don't want to have a dialogue. I don't want to make a request. This is it. I didn't have any confidence that getting into it would be in anybody's best interest.
Okay.
Is this a bad example of what you're asking us to do?
What did you do?
What did I do? I said something like, it's late. I have these things to do. I can't imagine that talking about any of this again is going to get us anywhere different. I'd love to talk to you at another time, but not right now.
And what was the effect?
The effect was that I stayed in the room and I continued on the things that I wanted to do instead of needing to leave the space to do it.
I guess what I'm asking is, what was the effect on the relationship?
It was another kind of uncomfortable exchange even after I said that, but it was a short one. So it was somewhat painful inside for me in the moment, but it was short enough and not very intense that I could just, I got through it, basically. But
yeah.
So the effect on the relationship, hard to say, I guess.
Yeah, because the question for me that you are raising is basically the simplest version is, at what cost do I want to meet my needs? And there is no answer that is like the right answer or the forever answer. If I am willing to pay the cost of the other person's unhappiness or even my own discomfort about getting my needs met without including the other person at the expense of the other person being able to get their needs met, if I'm willing for that, then I will do it. And it sounds like you were willing.
Yeah.
And the worry that I have is not when you do it as a single time. The worry that I have is if that is how you conduct business, general, because then you are prioritizing your needs consistently over the needs of another person, and in that sense, you're not really relating in full. You see what I mean?
I do, yep.
So I cannot really speak to it without the larger context. And you can take it from here and keep reflecting. I'm quite confident.
Thank you. This is very, very helpful for me. Thank you, Nikki.
Mm-hmm. Anybody else?
I found in our group that we were all feeling similar with not having clarity with what our needs were. So it was hard to think about the strategy that we really wanted, even though they were each coming from a different place. One, a need for inspiration. For myself, I think my self-worth comes into play with certain things, and I'm quick to try to fix, and I won't necessarily say that I'm quick to meet another's needs, but I try to band-aid things, I think, quite quickly rather than see what my need is in the situation. And with that, it's hard to strategize what I really want when I'm not clear with what my needs are.
Yeah,
I don't think we got as far as I would have liked with the questions you gave us. But it certainly is giving me a lot to think about and getting clarity on,
okay.
You know.
I want to give you and everyone else a practice that you can do that can help you get clarity on your needs. Let's say that you have a strategy or something that you want or whatever. As soon as you have any clarity about what you want, even if it's not a need, it doesn't really matter. You don't even have to know NVC for this. You just know what it is that you want, even without being clear on the needs. And then you ask yourself a question such as, why is this important to me? Or another question can be, why does this matter to me? Or what do I really want that leads me to want this? Or what would I get if I was successful in getting this to happen? All these questions don't mention the word need.
Can you read the last one that you said?
If I were successful in accomplishing this strategy, what would it give me? Let's say that I want my partner to apologize to me. I'm just making it up. What would it really give me if my partner apologized? That gets me to a deeper layer. So then I get to the deeper layer, and I do it exactly the same again. And I keep going down layer after layer until I get to a place where I know that I got to a level of truth that releases something in me, where I settle. That's the need. That's the deepest need that I can reach in that moment. And I don't care if it's on the list or not.
Thank you.
Somehow it seems like the word need creates kind of a paralysis for people, but these other questions don't. All right, folks. I think our time is basically up, except for closing. And I want to say that there is one small piece that we didn't get to, and I am planning to incorporate it in one of the later sessions. I am very much enjoyed having you here. And for closing, I would like to hear from three or four people a quick, very quick one-liner of what you're taking with you from having been here. What are you taking with you?
Maybe no matter what, try to turn a demand into a request.
You.
I can see why my demands don't work and that I will turn them into requests. And also I'm reminded to ask the person, would you be willing to hear what I have to say, or would you be willing to listen?
Before you even speak.
Right.
The one that I'm taking with me is the distinction between my needs haven't been met, and that I have a need.
Uh-huh.
That was really groundbreaking.
Thank you. Thank you, everyone. I hope that you get some benefit for your relationships and your capacity to live in dialogue overall in the world. And I look forward to meeting many of you again next week. Bye-bye.